chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We are going to continue in the series that we've been in. This will be part three this morning of the groundbreaking anointing. And we are over in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll pick up in verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10. God is a good God. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 10. How many know we don't deserve God's goodness? Anybody ever just realize we don't deserve His goodness? We don't. We do not deserve His goodness, His mercy, His grace. God is so good to us. Sometimes we take for granted. But if you ever watch your life, if somebody should record our life one day and just play back all the crazy stuff we say, do, and even think. Yeah, on the thinking part, everybody's like, oof, yeah. But His goodness and mercy is just always there for us when we don't deserve it, man. We serve an amazing God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's pick this thing up in verse 10. Verse 10, 1 Samuel 16, verse 10. Reads as follows. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." If you remember where we're picking this up, we're looking again at where David is being anointed. And the prophet comes on the scene and he says, to Jesse, bring me all your sons. He brings his sons before the prophet and prophet sees them. And that's when he says, Jesse made his seven sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Meaning, are all your sons here? Then he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him." Somebody say, "Bring him." I thought this is amazing right here. "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sat and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. Somebody say, "That's me. That's me. The good looking part. That's me." How many know God's anointed always look good? Come on, somebody. Anointing to help you out. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We ask that you use them, God, to strengthen our foundation on the anointing. God, as we continue to push and press in this series, I pray that every person begins to walk in their greatest season of anointing. Father, give us understanding and revelation and expectation when the anointing is on our life, what we can expect, what we should believe for. God, I pray that you bring a wider revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we get back into this today, part three of the groundbreaking anointing, we've been talking and spending time, if you're just picking up with us today, over the last couple of weeks, we've been laying a foundation of, we understand from the beginning of this year, this is a groundbreaking year. And we've laid the foundation for the last few weeks to understand it's just not a theme or a move, but there's an anointing on each and every person to have a successful year. When we talk about this is what God wants to do, it's something we talk a lot about, that there is a move He wants to do. But not only is there a theme or move God wants to do, there is an anointing on each and every person here, a special and specific anointing. And it's what God began to share. It's a groundbreaking anointing for us, meaning we have been anointed in this year to experience the groundbreaking that we have been talking about for almost a month and a half. If you haven't been here, I encourage you to get the CDs or go online and listen to where we've been breaking down what groundbreaking is, where it's a pioneering year, it's an innovative year, it's one of those years you will experience what you've never experienced before. But where we are right now is getting every person to understand that there is an anointing for you to do it. God is just not sending us out there in a groundbreaking year saying, "Go get it." He put something on us so we can achieve it. meaning he's caused that there an anointing to be on our life. And we spent the last couple of weeks understanding what the anointing is, how it's something on our lives as believers. There's different levels of anointings. There's a believer's anointing that every child of God gets. There's a specific anointing that matches the gift that's inside of you. And then there's corporate anointings for God to do certain things. He'll put something on you. He'll smear it on you. He'll put it on your life so you can achieve what it is he's called for you to achieve. So we spent the couple of weeks laying that foundation about what the anointing is. And I want to recap a few of the points that we've gone through real quick before we push forward. If you could put my three points up there that we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, even before that, we were trying in week one, we were trying to lay the foundation of no man can create the anointing, meaning that that special something that's on everyone, and that was the first 2 weeks. God just really was spoon-feeding me to get everybody to first and foremost understand you are anointed. Every person, somebody touch yourself and say, I am anointed. That was my first labor, my first job, is to get every person in here to understand how young you are, how seasoned you are, how black you are, how white you are, how in-between color you are, how heavy you are, how skinny you are, no matter if you have a convicted record or no record at all, that every person in here has an anointing on their life. Because most people think anointed people are spiritual leaders. They think pastors are the only anointed people. Let me tell you, every child of God in here, does not matter who you are anointed. That was my first 2 weeks of getting everybody to understand that you are anointed. One more time, say, I am anointed. Because the devil a lot of times wants you to minimize who you are. He doesn't want you to think you have something that other people have. He wants you remembering who you are, because you know who you are better than anybody else knows who you are. And when you see yourself, you kind of begin to think there's no way I can be anointed because who I am, where I've been, what I've been through, where I came from, and what I came out of. But you've got to understand you are anointed. Somebody say it again, I am anointed. And so I laid that foundation, no matter who you are in here, you are anointed. And then we begin to understand the anointing, how it's something special that comes on our life. And as we push through those main foundations, then we begin to understand, when we begin to understand the greatness of it, we begin to understand one of the things is no man can give you the anointing. No person can give you that special anointing. The one that is specific to who you are, you can't get it from anybody else. And why is that important? Because that means if you get it from a man, you got to wait on the man to give it to you. That means you got to wait on man to confirm who you are before you can go into what God has called you to do. And you've got to understand the anointing waits on no man. The anointing, God does not want you codependent on somebody for you to do what he's called you to do. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. We always waiting on somebody, pat me on the back and tell me to go. Listen, when you know you're anointed, that person may have some idiosyncrasies in their life. They may not want you to get where God is trying to send you. And so some people have played dumb and act like they don't realize the greatness in your life because they have insecurities in their life. And if you sit under someone like that, you've got to understand people can hold you back from your destiny. But when you know you're anointed and God starts pushing you into your destiny, you're not waiting on some man, or you're not waiting on your credit to get right. You're not waiting on a bank's approval. You know, I got the anointing on my life. And when God says go, I got to go. Because no man can create their own anointing. Then we talked about, we dug in a little bit deeper and understand that every anointing, there's a specific anointing to every person. Meaning you've got to understand that every anointing, that there are certain specific anointings where it is tailor-made. Just like, does anybody ever have a tailor-made suit or dress? If y'all talking like y'all fancy, everybody like, yeah, I have one of them. Amen. You fancy, you got a tailor-made. That means it fits you to a T. Matter of fact, most tailor-made suits, people have their initials put in them because it's yours. It's fit to your build, your shape, your mold, your height, your depth, how you walk, how you stride. And it's if somebody else gets in it, it's not made for them. And every person must understand, yes, there's a corporate anointing where it's on all of us. Then there's also the when you get saved, there's an anointing that falls on believers. And there are some specific anointings that match your gift in your life. And when you understand that there's one that's tailor-made just for you, whether you're a teacher, a barber, a hair person, whether you are an actor, whatever it is may be in ministry, whatever your gift is, there are specific anointings for you. And the thing you got to remember is you got to stay in your anointing. You cannot try to get under someone else's anointing because it can kill you. if you try to get out of what is, get into somebody else's tailor-made anointing, it will destroy your life. I've seen people step out in something that God has not called them to do, and they end up broke because they put everything into something and they did not have the anointing for it. And what God, what we got to understand is when you have the anointing, God will supply all your needs for what he's anointed you for. And if you get under the wrong anointing, God cannot supply that need because that's not your anointing. And so when we see it on people, they look like they're doing something. Because remember, we talked about the anointing draws people to you. And people look at it and they say, I can do that. That looks easy. But you got to understand the reason why it's happening for them like that is not because of them. It's a tailor-made anointing for their life. And you say, I want to do that. And you step out into something. Then that means that when you step out in it, you don't have the oil on your life for what you're stepping out into. And that oil brings provision. That oil brings safety. That oil brings everything you need. And if you step into something that you don't have oil for, it will destroy your family. Tell someone, stay in your anointing. Stay in your anointing. And this is why you got to make sure you understand no man can create, because how many know there are some people who will try to push people into an anointing that's not theirs as well. I've been in churches all over the world, and I've been and sat under different ministries. And growing up, I remember there are some people who come and preach. And people in the church would preach. And after they got through preaching, the people would be like, man, you're called the pastor. I've seen it happen in every church. If they tell people, man, you're called the pastor. No, they're not. That's a whole different anointing. Many people can preach and teach, but not everybody has a shepherd's anointing. And I've watched people push people off the ledge because somebody was trying to tell you you're anointed for something, but they didn't realize that anointing was a teaching anointing, not a shepherd's anointing. Because a shepherd doesn't just teach and preach. A shepherd's got to build. He's got to train. That person's got to raise up, got to deliver. They got to do so much than just preach and teach. And I've seen people step out into a shepherd's anointing with only a teacher's anointing, and they lose almost their marriage, their money, they lose their mind, they lose that they've stepped out on God wrong, and it can change your life. You got to, somebody say, stay in your lane. Here it is right here, and you got to find your own anointing. Everybody has one. And the third thing we talked about was understanding that with the anointing comes bitter moments. Everybody wants this glorious anointing. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching on what the anointing is. And when you understand it, and even more so today, you're going to want the anointing of God. But what we've got to understand, as glorious as the anointing is, it comes with a cost. The anointing is built out of bitter moments. When we looked in Exodus chapter 30, we begin to see the ingredients of the anointing. If you could put the ingredients up there, and it's important that you understand this. Because just because you're anointed does not mean you're not going to have rough seasons. I need you to get this, because we're in a groundbreaking, we have a groundbreaking year with a groundbreaking anointing. It does not mean you're going to have a perfect year. It does not mean you won't shed a tear every now and then. It does not mean that your setbacks in life are not going to come this year. Stay with me. What it means is God understands that when you have bitter moments, the anointing gets stronger on your life when you go through the process. Whenever you have a, God does not create bad in your life. Let's get that out the way. God does not say, let me let them have a bad season so they can get a greater anointing. It does not work like that. But there's times when life throws you a left hook. Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust just alike. So there's times, even as believers with an anointing on our life, that we still can experience bitter moments. And but what happens is when you go through those bitter moments, God says, I'm going to use that in the process of creating you to go through the fire. That's why the Bible says all things work together for the good. Not just your good works together, all things work together for your good. And so when you have a setback or you have a night where you got tears in your eyes, God says, I'm going to use that to strengthen the anointing on your life. Because whatever you go through, you come through, and you, whatever you deal with in life, you're now anointed to speak to. I told you this last week. Whenever you go through something in life that is a rough moment, you now have an anointing to speak to that thing. This is why it's important that you don't sit under anybody who hasn't been through anything. Because if you've never been through anything, you don't have the anointing to speak to anything. Because when I defeat a giant, I can speak to the giant. Because whatever I come out of, I'm anointed to talk to that thing. And that's why I told you my own battle that I went through with anxiety and depression. I shared that with you a few times, and I reiterated again last week that now when anxiety comes and tries to come in my house or my home, I have the anointing to speak to that thing because I came through that thing. And so now that I've come through it, I can speak to it. And if it tries to raise its head in my family or my generation, I just step up because I've already defeated you. And every time you knock on my children or my grandchildren's door, I got the anointing to evict you out of our family. So if you got an alcoholic spirit that you've overcome, your children and your children's children, you have the anointing to speak to that generational devil. He takes your bitter seasons and he creates the anointing. And that's what we saw. This was the ingredients I gave you real quick before we move forward. The ingredient for the anointing, we saw this in the Bible. The ingredients for the oil was 5 shekels of myrrh, which was bitter. But here's what I need you to understand. That we understand that every time that you have that bitter season, here's the ingredients. God says, listen, I've got to give you double for all the bitter moments in your life. I need you to understand, this is so important. I don't know if we got this last week. But you got to understand, God is not going to let the devil outdo him. God is not going to let the devil give you a one season of this without God giving you a double season of better. And you've got to learn to expect that from your God. The Bible says, when we looked at the ingredients, 5 shekels of myrrh. Myrrh is something that's bitter. He told Moses, hey, go get this and bring it to the perfumer. And the ingredients for the anointing oil was 500 shekels, meaning it was 500 shekels of myrrh. Just put it in layman's term, let's just put it in quarts. 500 quarts of bitterness. And then he says, here's the other ingredients, 250 of cinnamon, something sweet. 250 of sweet smelling. We took these out of the Bible. That's 500 right there. Now it's an even playing field with the devil. But then God says, I cannot keep you on an even playing field with the devil. I'm God. Then he says, I'm going to give you 500 shekels of cassia, which is something sweet when you study it out. And so God says, I'm going to give you double. We always preach that. People don't know where it comes from. But if you go over to Isaiah, we talked about it last week. He says, I'll give you double honor for what you've been through. So if you've ever gone through something from the devil, I need you to put a mandate on heaven. God, I need you to give me double for what I went through. That is not a religious thing. That is a spiritual thing. When you pray, say, God, I need double for what I went through. This is right out of Isaiah. And we need to understand when he says, listen, I'm going to give you double honor. And there's going to be double for my people that went through. And sometimes we just survive stuff and we don't put a demand on heaven. Anytime you go through something, you get up and say, I'm putting a demand on heaven right now. God, I went through 5 months of hell. That means you got to give me double of, come on. And I'm not being arrogant. God, I'm just giving you your word back. I'm giving you the word that says, God, I need you to give me double back in my life for all the sickness I went through, all the headache and all the drama, all the lost time. Come on. Anytime you lost time with your family and everything, tell God, I need more joy back with my family. The devil gave me a blow with my family. Now give me double back of everything I lost. We pray these little patty cake prayers. I ain't got time for that stuff right there. Put a demand. If you've lost money, you need to put a demand on heaven. And God loves it when you give him his word back. God loves it when you tell him, according to your word, you got to give me double, God. And I'm believing for my double. If I spent 5 days in the hospital, baby, I better spend a month over in Hawaii. So come on. I need double for what I've been through in my life. God desires that. He's not just going to get, you got to know it comes with bitter moments, but every time you come through something, put a demand on heaven. You got to put, somebody say, put a demand on heaven. Your prayer should change today. You can't be praying that same stuff you've been praying. We survive stuff and we get happy. You're better than that. Don't just survive it, man. Make the devil pay for it. You got to make him pay. You got to make him real. You got to tell him, you give me back everything you stolen and you're going to give me back some more stuff. We're so used to surviving. Whoa, I came through. No, you ain't a come through. You're an overcomer. Come on. God has so much for you. You got to raise your expectation as a believer. And it starts right here with having knowledge. That's why the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And if no one ever told you that you're supposed to have double, you ain't even, but you probably got so much on layaway in heaven right now. I bet you better start telling God, I go all the way back to 1999, tell my God, I didn't even ask for that, but I need that thing back that I lost back in 1999. Come on, somebody. It's time for me to get my stuff back. There's recompense. I mean, pay back. Give me back everything I didn't even ask for. Matter of fact, somebody need to start telling God right now, give me back everything I didn't even ask for. Go back to when you were in the hospital. Go back to when you went through a divorce. Go back to when you lost your job. And if you didn't put a demand on it and ask for double honor, you need to tell God, I need my double honor right now. I need my back pay. Come on, somebody. I need heaven to go back and give me. I forgot to ask. I didn't have the knowledge to ask. But today I'm aware of double honor up in here. Somebody shout double honor, double honor. You got double honor coming. Because you got to understand, God, you know what, matter of fact, because this is not just a January thing, this is a 2020 thing. And Leigh Bryan was sharing with me this morning, Linda Cooper, I know you're in here somewhere, she was sharing with me how her relationship with her daughter has been strained, and I understand it, because I've been knowing, we've been praying and all that stuff, and this morning, Leigh Bryan says she came in and said the relationship is restored. Thank you for raise your hand and just wave everybody. Her amen. Let me get you to understand what you're clapping for, because her relationship with her daughter has been, it just hadn't been right for a long. How many years would you say? 5 years. And when you're out of relationship with your kids for 5 years, it'll break your heart. Forget a job. Come on, somebody. Forget a car. Forget a house. But children. Those your heart right there. That's your babies right there. I don't care how much anointing you got. That stuff will bother your heart. And I know that's been on her heart. I've seen her cry. We prayed. And to hear that her daughter called her out of the blue just recently after 5 years, and then to see God start restoring, that's part of the groundbreaking anointing. If you go back to what I said, that God is going to restore relationships all year long. And here's what I need her and everybody else to understand is that not only is he going to give the relationship back, but if she lost 5 years, come on, she's going to get double. I don't know what double. I think it's 15 good years. Come on, it's going to be not just regular, but they're going to be besties. Come on, somebody. They're going to be shopping together, loving together, coming to church together, worshiping together, visiting together, casting together, because whatever the devil steals, he's got to give back double up in your life. And I need you to hear me, and this is why we're pushing, because this is what the anointing on your life is. Whatever the oppression is of that relationship, the groundbreaking anointing says no longer can it be. And if God is doing it for her, somebody shout, I'm next. Let me push. And watch this. So we began to look, and as we pushed through, we understood. We looked at David's life. I'm going to look at it here for a few more minutes. Is that we understood that the anointing, as we look at David's life, I want to push a little bit. And God really wants me to break this thing down for us to understand what this is going to look like. And I thought I was going to conclude this week, but I'm going to conclude next week. And is that all right with you guys, by the way? I'm just taking a survey that really don't matter, because I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just making y'all feel like you're part of the party. Amen. But this is what God has us doing. And as we looked at this story, we looked at it, and we saw here a couple of things I need to pull out. That when we see David here, in our text, we saw that we're familiar with the text where the prophet, listen, we looked at this for a couple of weeks, where Saul was rejected by God as the king, and God says, I have a new king. And he says, take this oil, because in the Old Testament, the way you became anointed was when the oil hit you. Then the Holy Spirit would come upon you. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament is just a type and shadow of something in the new. And so when the prophet would put natural oil on somebody for them to walk in their anointing, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes on us. And when he touches us, not with oil, but a supernatural anointing comes on everybody. So when we see the story of what we read here, David was being anointed with a king's oil. And the prophet comes and he pours the oil. Remember, this is important. I'm going to get to this in a minute. He comes to Jesse. His father says, hey, bring me all your sons. The Lord sent me here. He says, bring me all your sons, because there's a king in your lineage. Jesse calls all his sons, but David was somewhere in the backfield with the sheep. And he goes to him, he says, none of these seven are the one. Do you have another one? He goes, well, yeah, I got a joker over there. You know, daddy didn't even call him, because how many know man can't recognize your anointing? They don't recognize things on you. That's why you cannot wait for somebody to find you, because they may not ever find you. He never even called him. He didn't see greatness in his son. He didn't see the prophet came to town. And when the prophet came to town, it was big news in the city. If you read your Bible, when Samuel was coming, the prophet was coming, people actually feared when he walked. Because when the man of God came, they understood he came with anointing and authoritative power from God. And the Bible said people trembled when the prophet would walk through the town. And he comes to Jesse. So Jesse, everybody was alert. He said, bring me your sons. That means he thought, let me bring my best. And David was on the back somewhere, and he said, these guys aren't anointed right here. He says, I'm not even feeling this. And he says, well, I got another one. He says, bring him up. He brings David up. And watch what he does. He pours the whole oil on him. David is soaking wet with the oil on his life. And the Bible says when the oil hit him, then the Holy Spirit stepped on him. And now he was anointed for what he was called to do, to be a king. Now what's important about that is you need to understand, I thought this was powerful, is that when he recognized that none of those seven were his sons, stay with me, catch how, understand the anointing, is that he said, yeah, I have another one over in the backfield. I thought to myself, why didn't the prophet say, okay, let's go to your son? He did not say that. He says, go get him. And nobody leaves until he gets here. Why didn't you just go anoint him on the backside? He literally said, go get him. And matter of fact, none of you leave until he gets here. Because here's what God needs to understand. He wanted David to be anointed in front of everybody. Because the anointing should never be a secret on your life. He did not go to him on the backside where nobody would see it. God says, everybody on your job needs to know you're anointed. Everybody in your family needs to know you're anointed. Do not try to hide the anointing on your life. You walk in that thing with humbleness. You walk in it, but the anointing is not to be a secret. Come on, somebody. Because many times we want to keep stuff secret in our life because we understand with a great anointing comes great accountability. And you want to be anything you want to be, but God says, my anointing, I want the world to know you're anointed. I want everybody to know that my hand is on you on a special way, because the anointing should never be a secret. You don't have to announce it, but when you walk in and people should feel it, you should say, that's because I'm anointed. Come on, somebody. Not because I'm beautiful, not because I have a degree, not because I have money. I got it because I'm anointed. And you need to let people know what they're seeing on your life is because of the anointing on your life. See, some of y'all scared right now. Because if you get a promotion, you're going to go to your job talking about, well, I've been working hard, doing some overtime. Stop playing. You need to tell them the reason I got this because I'm anointed. Okay, y'all scared. See, y'all can't even do that. Well, Pastor, I'll be in HR. Well, HR just going to get delivered, because you better tell everybody in there the reason I'm getting what I'm getting and doors are opening in my life is because I got the anointing on my life. You got to be, see, we got too many scared Christians. Come on, somebody. I love me some, what's the joker name? Mitt Romney. I love me some Mitt Romney. Some of y'all may not be in politics, but how many know he's a Mormon? And he's a Republican. And when the impeachment process came, I love this guy. He stood up for what he believed. Out of all the 100 people, and I don't care what side he's on and how the vote went, but what stood out to me was one man stood up. It said, I know this is not going to be popular, but I'm taking a stand on national TV for what I believe as a believer, and I'm voting to impeach him. Whether you like it or not, that's not the point. What I like is that he took a stand in front of people, and he said, I know you're not going to agree with what comes out of my mouth. I know all the people say I'm a Republican. I got to think this way, walk this way, believe this way, but it goes against what I believe. And I wish we had some Christians that can stand up on their job and say, I know you don't understand what I'm saying. I know you don't like how I'm doing this, but I need you to understand the reason I am what I am, and I have what I have, and I'm still standing today, is because God has anointed me. I know y'all may not like me. I know I may not get invited to go to lunch, but as long as you know and I know that God has anointed me, everything's gonna be all right. We got all these sissy Christians afraid to be a child of God, talk about how the blood's on them, the anointing's on them. I'm not worried about offending people. We got to start letting them know I will offend you with the gospel of Jesus on my life. Touch your neighbor, say, don't be a sissy. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor, say, don't be a punk. Don't be a punk. Come on. We got all these scared Christians, sissified. If you're online, I'm talking to you. Quit being a sissy. Tell people who you are. I'm anointed is why I have what I have. I dare somebody to post that today when you get something. I dare you to put it out on social media. The reason I have it is because I'm anointed by God. Y'all post all that naked, crazy stuff. I dare you to post, I'm anointed by God. The reason I'm anointed, everybody starts saying, I got it because I'm anointed. Come on, somebody. I dare you to start letting the world know you're anointed. Let me get where I'm going. Y'all interrupted. Watch this. What was I talking about? So he comes, he anoints him in front of everybody. Let me get where I'm going. And that's why we see David's life. And David's life is so amazing because we see all the success David has with Goliath. And I told you before, Goliath is almost almost to the top of this pole right here. When you study his life, and I taught why there's giants in the land. I taught where they came from, biblically, on our Wednesday nights. And a little rock cannot kill a giant. That rock was smaller than my phone right here. And that rock cannot knock him out. And what I let us understand, David was anointed. And when you're anointed, God will take something that looks like nothing and can do big things with what you have. If anybody else would have took a rock, he would have just caught that thing like a Skittle. Come on, somebody. But because that rock in an anointed person's hand changes the game. And everybody's trying to get big stuff. God says, I'll take what you have and get done with what you could. Come on, somebody. I said it before. That's why y'all keep looking at your credit score. Stop tripping. God could take a 550 and do what he can do with a 780. Come on, somebody. When you're anointed, you just walk in. God says, I got you. What you worried about? If I called you to do it, go get it. The anointing is on your life. You're trying to get big stuff before you can move. But when the anointing's on your life, he'll take something little and give you something big because you got the anointing on your life. God, help me. Let me give y'all, Lord, watch y'all sit down. I'm just going to preach for a few minutes. I'm trying to be done. Watch this. You know, some of y'all don't even know this, but Keith sent me our guitarist right here, our bass player here. He sent me something a couple of weeks ago, and most people don't even know this. Let me let you read what he said. He sent this to me. Oh, man. I don't have it on my phone right. This is why y'all don't trust me with technology. Don't let me ever do this again. Here it is. I give you what I got. I don't know how to screenshot. I thought I had this thing. But let me watch. Here it is. He sent this to me. He sent it somewhere on our page, and they gave it to him. He says, he talks about his hearing. He says, I cut off the top. But he says, I only have hearing 60% in my left ear and 72% in my right ear. You got to understand. And 70% in my. So he only can hear 60%. 60% in one ear, 72% in the other ear. And there are some other things I missed on top. And this has been since birth, is it for most? Yeah, and so he has a hard time hearing. Now then he sent this here, and I want you to tie it together. And this is amazing. And then this was two Sundays ago. He says, I truly understand this now, different message. The message this past Sunday confirmed what used to be my confusion into my true understanding of the question I've always asked, why me? Oh, y'all missed it. What he's asking, because I think I cut off half the story up there, is how can God use him to play music and he can't even hear? Okay. Y'all not hearing it. Here's what he said. He says, two Sundays ago, I truly understand now. The message this past Sunday confirmed what used to be my confusion into my true understanding of the question I always ask. Why me? Now I know God gave me an anointing and a gift to be used in his house to touch others coming into his presence. Y'all ain't saying nothing up in here. Because you don't have to have 100% of anything when the anointing is on your life. God will take what you have and do what other people who got 100% hearing cannot do, because he has an anointing on his life to play and to usher in the glory of God up in this house. Somebody shout hallelujah. God will take what you can be in a wheelchair and you're anointed. You can come in with a hip lip and God will still use you. When the anointing's on your life, you don't need everything working. You just need the anointing of God to get done what needs to be done. Somebody shout hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Touch them and let them know I'm anointed. See, stuff like that blesses my life. Because what the devil may have wanted him to do was to think, listen, God can't use you. You're an accident up there. But God, see, and then you begin to understand, I am anointed. I'm called to do this. I don't need everything everybody else has. And God will raise him up, not just in church, but raise him up out of church and take him places he ain't ever been. He'll let him see what he's never seen. Go destiny. Oh, see, that's why David, every day, you know, Saul tried to give David his sword, and like, you can't go out there with them little rocks, boy. He said, take my shield and my sword. David said, I got some rocks, I'm good. Because everybody, watch this, he says, I think you said something really good in there, hang on. He says something in there, he says, he says something, he says, God truly turned what was supposed to be my disability into my ability. God, help me. That blessed me when I read that. Oh, God. He shouldn't be doing this up in church. Come on, somebody. He shouldn't be able to hear play like that because he cannot. It doesn't work for him the way it does. But when the anointing is on your life, I don't know who God is encouraging right now, but you don't need everything that everybody else has to walk in what God called for your life. Stop trying to. Don't disqualify yourself based off what you have and what you think is your ability. I don't have it all together. I'm probably the slowest preacher in Surprise. But baby, when the anointing's on my life, it does not matter. And you may be the slowest person in whatever God's called you to do, but when the anointing and the glorious power of God is on you, you can walk on water. You can begin to look devils in the eye. You can do whatever God's anointed you to do. God, I feel like preaching. See, that blessed my life. That blessed my life. And when I saw that, see, we got to understand the power of the anointing. And when you don't understand the anointing, you don't understand why God can use you. But when you get revelation, see, the devil will tell people, you were locked up, you had an addiction. God would take an addicted person. And he would use them to change the world. You got to understand, even when, it amazes me when seasoned people start checking out in life. Don't you start checking out? Somebody, I'm seasoned. No, that's, you got a seasoned anointing. Come on, somebody. Still work to do. You still got this thing. Don't ever use, I like what he said, don't let a disability stop you. Your disability will become your ability. Come on, somebody. I stole that from you. I'll give you an offering later. Amen. I appreciate you. Watch this. So we understand that let me get where I gotta go. So we see this, he anoints him, and it's amazing he didn't go back there, but he wanted everybody to know. And we know the story. David goes, I gotta get there. David goes out on the field and he's anointed now. The oil hits him. And what's amazing is when the oil hit his life, how many know he had the oil on him? Stay with me. God help me. In front of his brothers, and the Bible says the prophet left. He had an anointing, a king's anointing on him. The prophet leaves. He's standing there soaking wet in front of his brothers. And his daddy said, can you go back to them sheep now? God. See, that's what I told anointed people. I'll get to this next week a little bit more. But anointed people still got to be patient. He had a king's anointing but had to go back to the sheep. God help me. Soaking wet, walking back to the back. Talking about, wait a minute, I'm anointed. Why am I not in the forefront right now? Because you got to be patient. Because you're anointed doesn't mean you're instantly in what you're anointed for. The prophet walks off. If you understand that he walks off, David's sitting there like, okay, I'm anointed. Okay, I got a king's anointing. What do I do? go back to that sheep. Keep picking that poop up. Oh, y'all ain't saying that to me. I get to that next week. Let me push. And so David, we know the story. He goes out on the field, and his life changes from that moment forward. That moment forward is when David's life changes, when the oil hits him. He goes there. His brothers are out in battle. We know the story. The oil's on him. He goes there to fight. You know, there's a war going on. He's an Uber driver. His dad says, hey, I need you. His dad said, I need you to take some food to your brothers who are out there fighting the Philistines. David said, go take them some food. He's like, yeah, grab some cheese, some burgers, get their orders from wherever they need, and I need you to go take them some food. He goes out to the field, and we know the story. His life changes. He gets to the field. His life totally changes. And he begins to have success after success. And this is where I want to get to my first point. Is once the anointing's on your life, it is literally favor leaning on you. And I need you to understand this. I talked about last week, it's like doors opening, an automatic door in a grocery store. They don't even have handles. You just walk up and the door's open. A little sensor sees you and it opens. And as I was working that, the Lord said, I need you to go back and begin to show them that it's not just going to open, but watch how fast it opens. Because what we need to understand, David's life changes from that moment forward. He goes to the battlefield. We see that he defeats Goliath. And then I want you to begin to see what happens with his life. Let's walk through this first. So the first thing you need to understand, the anointing favors you. If it causes favor to lean on you. If you understand what I'm saying to you, you have the favor. You always have the favor, but you got a greater. It's just everything's leaning towards you right now. Every time you walk, you got to understand with this groundbreaking anointing, there are things that are about to shift in your life. Watch David's life. We understand how he defeats Goliath. And then watch 1 Samuel 16:21. Put that up there for us. Let me walk through some things before I get you happy. Watch this. In 1 Samuel 16:21, so David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Verse 22. Then Saul said to Jesse, he said, please let David stand before me. Watch what he says. What is he's found what? Favor in my sight. I like this because here is David's journey. Now, this may not mean anything to anybody, but he's actually, give me verse 21 again. Verse 21, David came to Saul, meaning he's now in the presence of the king. Okay, y'all missed it. We read through this like it's nothing, but this is the king of Israel. This is like standing in front of the president of the United States. Whatever you think about the one, you think about it. But one you like. Come on, somebody. And it's such an honor. I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just saying because I know a lot of people feel, you know. But find the one you like and honor and respect, and you're like, man, I get to stand in front of that one. All right. And it got to make the analogy work for you. And so this is the king of Israel. And here he is. He was in the back field with sheep. His own daddy he couldn't stand in front of. His own daddy said, bring me my son. He couldn't even stand in front of his daddy. He was in the backfield with sheep being a nobody. But when the oil came on him, the Bible says, look what happens. Now he's standing in front of the king. A little boy in the backfield is now standing in front of the king. And not only is he standing in front of the king, the highest authoritative position in the land. But now he says, watch what he says. He loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. Because you don't let people become your armor bearer who you don't have a connection with in the heart. Not only did he stand before the king, but watch what the king said. King says, I like this boy. He said, so verse 22, he watched the shift. Verse 22, he says, sit to Jesse. He says, not only did he stand, he says, go tell his daddy, I need this boy to hang with me. There was an immediate connection and affection where he was taken, and now he's standing in front of the king. Somebody say he's standing in front of the king. See, this is what the anointing will do. It will take you from one place, the backside with some dirty sheep, where nobody is there, nobody is paying attention, but the oil won't let you stay where you are. When the anointing is on your life, I don't care if you just started the position. I don't care if you just got the job at entry level. Come on, somebody. You're like, why am I in this mailroom if I'm anointed? Hang tight. Because you're in the mailroom this month, but you might be at the CEO table next month because the oil won't let you stay where you're not supposed to be. He takes him. Watch this. Watch the process. Stay with me. And then watch. Go to 1 Samuel 8:1-5. Now he's hanging with royalty. Come on, somebody. This is amazing. That now he's hanging with royalty. Let's read through this. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Now the king's son is in love with him. The king's son is like, not only the king, but now the royal family is taking this boy in. Watch the shift. His own family didn't even want him. His own family didn't invite him to the party. God help me. But now he's bypassed that family, and he's with royal family. And the oil is shifting him. And watch the favor leaning on David right now. Watch what it said. Verse 2. Move verse 2. So Saul took him that day. Watch what it said. And would not let the boy go home. Church, when you got favor leaning on you, look what it says. Watch the effect. See, it wasn't David. It was the anointing they were in love with. They were being drawn to it. He got to the point. He said, hey, can he hang with me? Now he says, hey, you ain't even leaving. It ain't like a kidnap situation, but he's letting him know, I need you with me. Because when you are next to somebody with the anointing, for some reason, you don't want to leave them. You want to stay connected to them. It's just something that draws you to the anointed people. God help me. Watch this. Verse 3. Then Jonathan made a covenant because he loved him in his own. Verse 4. Listen, and John took off the robe that was on him and get come on somebody. See, people gonna start giving you stuff. This was a robe that belonged to the king's kid. Now he's got so much favor leaning on him. I'm trying to help you real quick to understand what you need to start expecting. David didn't have to pay for this. He didn't even ask for it. He didn't even expect it. See, people will start giving you stuff you don't even expect in this season. This is what I'm trying to tell you stuff. When you connect with people, they will not even understand, why do I feel like giving you stuff you ain't even asking for? Begin to like give you stuff and take you places. You say, God, I didn't even pray for that. God says, you ain't got to pray for it. It comes with the anointing package where people will start giving you stuff and opportunities will begin to open up in your life. Verse 4, let me get through this. I don't know who I'm talking to. So David went out wherever Saul sent him. And watch how he behaved wisely. We'll get to that next week. And Saul set him over the men of war. He set him over the men of war. He said, listen, not only are you with me, I ain't just going to have you with me, but I'm about to begin to put you over stuff. Here he is over sheep. Now he's over people. He began, watch the shift. I need you to see it. Verse 6. Watch this. So now he's, watch the shift. He's with royal family now. And I know y'all sitting there because y'all don't understand the dynamic, but this kid had sheep all over him. He smelled like sheep. He was known, used to get around David, you're going to smell like some sheep. Y'all get what I'm talking about later. Now he's in a place where he's with royalty. The smell on his life has changed. He's hanging with the king, walking in the palace, He went from a hoopty. I don't know what car is your dream, but he went from that to that. Come on. There was a shift. He got on some Kenneth Cole cologne. I don't know. He went from sheep stuff to now he's smelling good, looking good. And it said it happened. Watch this. Then Saul said, listen, I'm putting you over my men of war. Now I'm setting you over stuff that you don't even have a training for. David has never been equipped or trained to be over men of war. Nowhere do you find that. And Saul says, here's what I need you to do. I'm putting you over all of them. Everybody probably looking like, hold up, I've been with you, player, for a long time. He was over there with some sheep. Come on now. But when favor is leaning on you, when that anointing comes on you, David now is over, he said, over the men. And now it happened as they were coming home from war. When David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and with joy and with musical instruments. Verse 7, they came to meet King Saul. The women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. I need you to understand, his name is now connected with royalty. Not only is he hanging with them, but people are now connecting him to royalty. Don't you miss what just happened. Rewind one more verse. The Bible says that women came out singing. Oh, it's finna get quiet. See, this is where men have to be careful when you have an anointing on your life. Because what women think they're drawn to is not the man, it's the anointing. Okay, it's quiet. I got 3 hand claps. And it's the same way around, because people are drawn, because that tells you something. You got to be careful, because that's why the Bible said David behaved wisely, because you got to understand what stuff's coming to you. You can't take everything that's coming to the anointing. God help me. Okay, watch this. But I need you to catch, go verse 7. His name is now mentioned with royalty. God help me. Verse 13. So here it is. His name is now, daddy didn't even mention him with his brothers. Now in the streets of Israel, his name is being sung. His name has now shifted and being sung. Now watch this. Go to verse 13. And now he says he puts in all of his men, but it says that, and made him his captain over thousands. And he went out and came before the people. Watch the shift that's taking place. Watch verse 14. Watch what it says. And David, verse 14, and the Lord was with him. You got to understand, here's why this is happening. When the oil came and he was anointed, the Bible said the Lord was with him, meaning that anointing, the Holy Spirit was on him. Now watch the last verses, verse 17. I need you to catch this. Verse 17, not only watch what's happening in his life. Then Saul said to David, here's my oldest daughter. He said, I want to give her to be your wife. He says, listen, now I want you to marry royalty. He says, I will give her to you as a wife. And he goes on to tell him, he says, now what I want you to catch, church, is watch the shift of his life. And how fast it's happening is what we miss. This is almost happening so fast, it's got to be blowing David's mind. And what you've got to understand, this happened as soon as the anointing began to be on his life. And he began to realize that this anointing is on my life. Things began to shift in his life at an amazing pace. This was not years and years in the making. This was almost instantly in many ways. Not yesterday day, but it was over a short period of time that David went from nobody to his name is being sung in the streets of Israel and hanging with the king. And what I came to tell somebody, that is the season we're in, and that's why I'm trying to prepare your heart, because I'm telling you right now, the Lord has given this to me to release to you as a prophetic mouthpiece for heaven, that you're not waiting all year for the shift. The same way we keep giving testimonies almost every other Sunday, this is what's going to take place in your life. You may be one place right now, but I'm not talking about 2021. I'm not talking about December. I'm talking about instantly. God is beginning to shift you, and favor is leaning on your life, and you got to wake up with an expectation. If you don't have an expectation, it may not even manifest. But you need to walk around looking for the blessings to come on your life. You need to walk around and understand your season is shifting right now. Somebody say, it's shifting in my life. See, the problem with believers is we're so caught up looking at the oil on us and we're still with sheep. David was with sheep. And we go back to work tomorrow. I hear the anointing thing, but I keep, come on, man. You got to walk into places where it's crap everywhere. Come on, that's where sheep stuff is at. Where you say, Pastor, I'm going through crap on the job. Come on, I'm sanctified, so I don't say the other word. You understand? But you go to places, and it's got that all of, you got to realize you may be in a crap situation, but it ain't going to be long, baby. God is taking you from that thing to a better thing. This is real life. I ain't got time to sugarcoat stuff. I need you to get it in your spirit, because it may look one way, but you got to understand God is in the midst of shifting stuff. You may not have a job now, but baby, you're about to own a job in April. You may not have the money now, but you're going to have overflow in May. You may not have what is working now. This is not a long process. I am preparing you to expect right now. You may have oil on your life, and you may go back to a sheepish situation, but God is telling me to tell people you need an expectation for a right now change. Somebody say right now. You need to know God is working it out. That oil, you may get called to the office tomorrow, and they may say it's time for you to move. You got to have an expectation for God to shift your life. I feel that so strong in my spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm telling you, there's something. I feel it so strong that God can just shift your thing. And that is the season we're in, church. Some people sit here and they listen, they go through this pickle moment. Oh, that's good stuff. Baby, I need you to get ready. Come on, somebody. This is a shifting season. This is not a groundbreak. God ain't, let me tell you something. God don't have time to be waiting on the world. Come on. We got to do stuff now. God is looking for some shakers and movers right now. There are things God needs to get done in the earth right now. And we are the chosen ones with the groundbreaking anointing to shift stuff and change stuff. And you got to wake up ready. You got to go to bed ready. You got to have an expectation that this is mine. You need to start claiming things. You need to start speaking to things and say, I'm expanding my life. Oh, God, I feel it right there. Somebody say, he's expanding me. God is taking your borders and he's pushing it out. I got to go. Let me give you the second thing. Watch this. Here it is. I'm almost done. See, when you say, God, when you see sheep stuff all the time, you stop expecting. You get common with sheep stuff. Oh, I just got sheep stuff going on. You got to understand, you cannot settle in that stuff. Even though David had oil on his life, he went back to sheep stuff. And in the midst of a moment, he went from sheep stuff to the king said to his daddy, I need this boy to stay with me. He said, whether you like it or not, I'm shifting his life. And this is what you need to understand. Can't nobody hold you down. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll speak to people that don't even want you there. And he'll say, it does not matter. He'll go over them and make sure you get where you've got to go. I'm trying to prepare this church for the greatest season of your life right now. His own daddy didn't invite him to a party. And you notice the king said, go tell Jesse, his daddy. It's amazing that we miss stuff in the Bible because he spoke to the one that was holding him back. He said, he spoke to the one that said, you can't even come to this party. And what God is letting us know that when people are holding you back, they really cannot hold you back. I don't care about you talking about a boss and this and the man. Don't nobody care about that stuff. The man cannot hold you back. No, but God, let me tell you something. When that anointing is on your life, he will go over people and around people, and somebody will come in there, knock on their door, and be like, hey, that person right there, well, why, I got another one. I don't care if you got another one, but that one right there, I need that one right here. And they will have humble pie and walk over there to you and be like, hey, I need you to come over here. Come on, somebody. This is the season, and you need to have an expectation in order to walk in the manifestation. And as soon as the anointing got on David, things, favor began to lean on him. And I'm telling everybody in here, we got favor leaning on us. Come on, somebody. I wish I could tell you things right now that I can't even tell you right now. It's just leaning on us. And everywhere you go, just, matter of fact, lean on your neighbor and tell him, it's leaning on me. Just come on, just lean with him. Get that gangster lean. Just lean on him. You know how you be rolling in your car? Just lean with it. I don't drive like that no more. Amen. Okay, watch this. Point two, watch this. Here's the thing you got to understand. Not only is favor leaning on us, but point two is the anointing changes relationships. You got to understand. You got the anointing on you, but it will change your relationships. Holy Spirit, help me right here. See, you got to understand, when you have relationships with the anointing, it evolves you. Let me make sure you understand. You begin to evolve as a person. And people who are drawn to the anointing, who are excited about what's happening in your life, as you continue to evolve, they may not evolve with you. I'm going to help you right now. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to help you. And when you grow in the anointing, it does something to you when you begin to understand it. It literally begins to change you in a certain way in your thinking, how you approach yourself, watch this, and who you have around you. See, David was used to hanging with the sheep, the animals, but now he's hanging with royalty. And it's not that he thinks he's better, it's that he's understanding the anointing. And when you understand it's the anointing that has brought you from one place to the another, you begin to carry yourself in a different way. Not that you're better than sheep. I just understand I have something valuable on my life. So we'll say, okay, watch this. Give me 1 Samuel 17. Because we see that even, watch, 1 Samuel 17, 28, 32, watch this. Now we see this. David now has the anointing on his life. He goes to the battlefield. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, meaning he heard David talking. David is now on the battlefield. He came as an Uber driver, and he came to bring his brother some food. His dad said, go take him some chicken. And he gets there to the battlefield, and he hears that there's a problem with Goliath. And all of a sudden, he's on this battlefield. We know the story. None of the people wanted to fight Goliath. They were afraid of this giant. And so David is saying, he comes on the field in verses before, he's talking like, what's going on? You know, David's about to step in this thing. And his brother hears him talking about how he's getting, what's going on with this giant? What can we do here? His brother hears this, and he says, his eldest brother heard it. He spoke to the men. I mean, he was talking to the men who were shaking in the rocks like, I got this thing. And his brother was angry with him. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep? Okay, he put him in his place. You need to be back there in your place with them sheep. He said, listen, you're talking about coming here fighting a giant, that giant is a king's anointing. That giant is a king's giant, let me put it that way. Saul the king has the anointing to kill that giant. And here you are talking about you gonna step out on the battlefield. He tried to remind him, you hang with sheep. Who'd you leave them sheep with? He demeans him in front of people, letting him know, you can't handle this. You're a sheep boy. God help me. And his anger was aroused with him. Now, where do you see his brothers mad at him? What's happening is David's life is shifting. God help me. Let me see if you can get this. He's shifting because nobody walks to a battlefield and says, let me take that giant on. Nobody does that because Goliath is a king's giant. It takes a king's anointing to deal with Goliath. And what's happening is David is going from the sheep, and now God is slowly bringing him into his king's anointing. And there's things in him where he's changing, and he's beginning to desire things that he wouldn't desire before. And his brother cannot handle the transformation right before his eyes. Because something in David is saying, I want to help the people. If you read it, he goes on and he's literally telling him, verse 28, read on, give me verse 29. And David said, what have I done now? Is there a cause for you to be tripping like this? Verse 30. Then he turned from him. See, when people start tripping, you just turn. When they don't recognize your anointing, do not give them space no more. God, help me right here. See, we like, well, I'm anointed. You ain't got to explain yourself. If they don't see it, they don't see it. But you ain't got to just say, people will not want to accept what's right there in front of them. You ain't got time to fight. Once you know that you ain't afraid to let them know you're anointed, if they cannot accept you, watch what happens. He turned from him. God. And we got to understand, there's people in your life, you're going to have to turn from them. They got your same last name. Come on, somebody. They've been your best friends from high school, but when the anointing comes on your life, you're going to have to turn from some people because that anointing is causing you to transform into what God is calling you into. God, help me right here. This was probably the hardest thing David had to do was turn from his family. And see, it's not about turning from family. It's turning from people who can't accept your anointing. And what I'm trying to tell you, although you're anointed, everybody's not going to accept what God is doing in your life. Watch this. I got to get there. Let me finish this thing up. Next verse. He goes to him. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Verse 32. Watch what happens. David says, Saul, let no man's heart fail. Because a king's anointing says, I'm worried about other people. Watch what David says. Don't let nobody trip. I got this. I'll go put my life on the line for other people. Because that's what the anointing is to do it for the greater cause of God's people, Israel. And what was happening, and what I need you to see, is this is a transformation of a boy with sheep who's walking in something, and his family couldn't understand the transformation right before their eyes. His king's anointing was coming out, and his brother was angry. When your anointing starts coming out, people close to you may not be able to walk with you. Because it's a transformation of how you see things. David was not worried about fame or just being. He says, what have I done? My heart was pure. My anointing is pulling me to walk a certain way now. Now something is drawing me to my anointing. And this is what, when you have an anointing, it'll burn inside of you to go do some things that you're like, why do I have this desire? It's the anointing pulling you to what you've been anointed for. And other people will begin to see and be like, what are you doing right now? You're doing this to be seen, but really it's in your heart now. I'm looking for the kingdom of heaven. And God will begin to put you in places, and you will begin to see people who cannot handle you. He will allow you, he will reveal to you people who cannot walk with you. But we've got to make the decision to turn and move from them. Oh, yeah, okay, it's going to get real quiet. Watch this right here. Because what happened is, it changes relationships, church. He literally, watch this, and then watch it. Okay, we remember, I got to get this to you before I shout you. Here's the other part. Remember, Saul loved David. We saw that. Give me 1 Samuel 18 real quick. 1 Samuel 18 and 11. Watch this. Even people who love you at one point, who enjoy your anointing, may not want you no more. Saul, we saw, loved David, wanted to give him to his wife, put him over thousands. Now Saul said, Saul tried to kill the boy. And Saul cast a spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. Wait a minute, I thought you loved him. What you trying to kill him for? Verse 12. Because here's what happens. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. I'll get to that in a minute. What happened was he wasn't afraid of David. He was intimidated by the anointing on his life. A person can become intimidated by what's on your life. Because when people start seeing the progress in your life, I got to prepare you for this. When they begin to see God moving and transforming, people will become intimidated with you. I'm trying to help you right now, church. It's not that it's going to come off as they're angry and you can't respond in anger. You've got to have revelation. They're not mad at me. They're intimidated with the anointing on my life. And it's not that you're to be arrogant. I need you to understand what's about to happen in your life. People will gravitate to you. But at some point, when they keep seeing your progress and they keep seeing your growth and they keep seeing your exposure, something in some people will want to chuck spears at you like Saul did. They'll want to throw spiritual spears and verbal jabs at you and try to remind you who you are. You've got to be prepared to understand that the anointing will cause your relationships to shift. The same people that applaud you when you get it are the same people that try to tear you down when they keep seeing you lift it up. They will begin to find flaws in your life. They'll begin to poke holes in your anointing. But you've got to understand that's just part of the process. You've got to be okay with turning away from certain people that are close to your life now, because not everybody can accept what God is doing in you. See, there are people who are going to accept you, and then there's some people who are going to reject you. And there's a season where the same people who accept the anointing, they applaud for you now, they're going to tear you down later. I'm preparing you right now. And I begin to learn in life. Listen to me. I begin to learn in life, and it's probably the hardest thing, Lady Brian, I've ever had to go through transformation in our life. Our entire circle has changed from 10 and a half years ago. I'm talking people who were in our house all night long, people who we hung with every Saturday and Sunday, people even who helped us launch this ministry at some point. We didn't change as people, but the anointing kept changing us and shifting us to a greater place, and people could not handle it who we thought would be with us our entire life. And we had to make a decision. Do we placate to them? Do we baby them? Do we try to keep assuring them? We love them. We did that for a season. And at some point, we had to just keep on keeping on for what God called us to do. And it's not that we love, not that our hearts changed, not that we want. No, no, no. The anointing kept evolving us, and we kept trying to pull people who did not want to go where God was taking us. And the hardest thing you got to do sometimes is cut the anchor and let them go. And it's not that you dislike them, not that you never say hi, that's not what I'm saying. But you got to quit trying to pull people who don't want to go where your anointing is taking you. See, it's like I've said this before. When you have the anointing and you understand the anointing, it's something valuable on your life. It is, you got to understand, the more you understand your anointing, the smaller your circle is going to get.